Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
There's a land that I see where the children are free, and I say, take my hand, come with me, where the children are free. Come with me, take my hand, and we'll live.
In a land where the river runs free, in a land through the green country, in a land to a shining sea, in a land where the horses run free.
Free to Be You and Me is a record, book, theater piece, TV special conceived by Marlo Thomas that challenges gender and racial stereotypes by emphasizing strong positive values such as personal aspiration, individuality, cooperation, self-esteem, tolerance, and comfort with one's identity. There will be a 40th anniversary celebration of Free to Be You and Me at the Mahawi Theater in Great Barrington on Sunday, August 18th at 7 o'clock. The event will feature a live panel discussion with Marlo Thomas, Alan Alda, and Letty Cotton Pogrebin about the empowering children's classic and the difference it made, as well as societal problems that persist for children today, and as well as strategies for progress. It is a great pleasure to welcome Marlo Thomas to the roundtable once again. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Joe.
This is very exciting, and I assume, like me, it's hard for you to believe that it's been 40 years.
It sure is. Very hard.
So what brought it about initially? What was it that you thought there was a reason for this 40 years ago?
Well, you know, I've told the story many times, and it's also in the introduction to the book, but I don't know if you know that I graduated from USC as a teacher, as an English teacher.
Right.
So I think that kind of background kind of underlies a lot of what I do or what anybody does. With, you know, what they've studied in school makes them more conscious of things. And I was reading to my little niece, Dionne, who was about 4 or 5 years old at the time, my sister's first child, and I realized that all of her books were kind of the same old thing that we used to read when we were kids, you know, the same old prince and the same old princess with the same old glass slipper and the same old happy ending. And I thought, oh, come on. You know, I'm grown up now. That doesn't happen. And I don't want Dionne to think that's going to happen. I want her to know that her destiny has to do with herself. And so I looked at bookstores for other kinds of stories, books that might encourage her to think for herself, that get the idea that the world was open, that she had so many opportunities. I mean, don't forget, by the time I was doing this book, I mean, we had already been fighting for, you know, women's liberation and independence and equal pay. And you know, I'd already done That Girl, which was about a young woman who comes to the big city to make it on her own. So we've gone through a lot. So I just was kind of shocked that after the television shows and the literature and the marches that we were still back in, you know, the 40s and 50s and before. I mean, Cinderella and those plays, stories are quite old. Anyway, I decided I would make a little record for her myself, and I started, you know, going out after writers and getting stories of children's writers, and they were kind of sing-songy and boring, and I thought, this isn't going to work. I mean, Dionne and kids like her have concerts in their living rooms on television. It's going to have to be way snappier than the sing-song stuff. So I went to Broadway writers like Herb Gardner and Ed Kleban, who wrote Chorus, the music of Chorus Line, and Sheldon Harnick, who did Fiddler on the Roof, and Peter Stone, and Carl Reiner, who did the Mel Brooks pieces, and so I went about it in that way. I really had Dionne in my mind for what would entertain her and what would open up her mind to all the possibilities that she could, of who she could be.
you are going to be with Alan Alda, who worked with you on the original project, and you're going to be having a discussion at the Mahewi, and Letty will be involved as well. What do you want to get out of that panel discussion, and I think ultimately showcase about the impact that this work has had, and quite frankly, the work that still needs to be done?
Well, actually, it wasn't my idea to do this, so I don't have an agenda in mind. Alan and I accepted the invitation that Letty brought to us, that they would like us to come and do a panel discussion, and I was delighted to do it because I think it opens up a lot of questions about, you know, how are we educating children today? What are moms and dads and uncles and aunts and grandmas and grandpas bringing to their kids today? And how are they reacting with what is going on in their children's lives? I mean, there's a lot of bullying going on in children's lives today, and how do we speak to children about bullying? And how do we make children feel responsible for each other? And I think there's a lot of that in the Free to Be idea, which is that we look out for each other. It's good to have a friend. And we realize now with bullying, for example, that there are three children involved in bullying, and it takes up all children, the child who's being victimized, the bully themselves, and the bystander. And every child is involved. So how do we help children get through this terrible phenomenon that's happening in grammar schools? So I think the idea of talking about, you know, how it affected our lives, how it affected the children in our lives, and how parents and relatives are dealing with children today who have big questions.
And what's fascinating is that, yes, technology has changed, and 40 years later, we're at a much different place technologically with social media and so forth, but the basic issues about why we do it have not.
Well, the basic issue is how do you, as Kurt Vonnegut wrote the afterword in the Free to Be book, he said he always felt that when children were born, they should be handed a manual to tell them how to maneuver on this planet and how not to fall off of it and how to cope with it. And I think really that's what Free to Be does, which is why it's still alive. 40 years later, everyone is still buying it. We did a 35th anniversary edition of it, obviously 5 years ago, with all new artwork. We kept the material the same, but the artwork was a little old-fashioned. And so we updated the art, which is just beautiful. And I think children do need some help in finding themselves and understanding that they don't have to be who everybody else is, that it's all right to cry if you're a boy. And nobody tells a girl it's not all right to cry, but we do tell boys it's not all right to cry. We do call boys sissies if they cry. We have a habit in our culture of hitting children below the belt. You know, if you cry as a boy, you're a sissy. If you're assertive as a girl, you're not a real feminine girl. We try to make them, boys and girls, meet some kind of standard of what femininity and masculinity is, which is a terrible thing to do. My friend Herb Gardner told me when he was little, he was a sculptor when he was a kid. He later became a playwright and wrote 1,000 Clowns and Lovely Things. But he used to love to sculpt, and his father used to break the dolls. He didn't want him playing with dolls. Bobby Fosse, the great choreographer, used to hide the fact that he had a piece of board in the garage so that he could dance, because his father thought only sissies danced. I mean, all this creativity being smothered because we have some gender definition. And I've always said that it's way too crippling, way too, you know, stifling for children. We have to see who they are and allow them to express who they are. And we also have to encourage boys and girls to be friends. You know, boys have their playground, girls have their playground, and then we expect them at some magical hormonal age to start getting along. Well, if you don't play with each other when you're children, how do you trust each other? How do you learn how to make room for each other? How do you learn how to cooperate together? And so that's another thing we tackle in Free to Be You and Me. We have a song called Glad to Have a Friend Like You, which is mm-hmm. about a boy and a girl. And we have different stories about boys and girls playing together, sharing life together. That's what we want to encourage so that when we do grow up, we know how to play together and work together and love together and all the things that are expected of us that can't possibly just have a switch turned on when you get to a certain age.
And you obviously have 4 decades worth of material for answers for the question I'm about to ask you, but you have certainly seen the impact of this. When it comes out and it's successful and its longevity has been 4 decades, it's had an impact.
Yes, it has had an impact. And one of the big impacts, actually, that launched the impact, I think, are the teachers and the librarians of this country. When the book first came out, the teachers just embraced it immediately. They saw it as a way to bring it to their classrooms and in an entertaining way teach children about ethics and cooperation and inspiration and being free to be who they are. Still to this day, no matter what city I go to either raise money for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital or to speak on behalf of women's rights or to be doing a play in another city, I always have in my mailbox at the theater a note from a teacher who says, please come to our school. We're doing Free to Be You and Me as a May Day, or we're doing it as Halloween, or we're doing they just do the most wonderful little stage shows on it, and often I try to go, and I'm just thrilled to see the way the children embrace it and make it their own with their own imaginations.
When you think of obviously that impact, do you think culturally that we are, I mean, we talked earlier about the problems that kids still have and the societal pressures that I'm sure will always be there. But are you optimistic that there is a point where kids won't need something like that?
Well, I think everybody needs. I mean, you need to have some conversations about marriage. You need to have conversations about how to enter the workplace. I think children do need, just as adults need, you know, some kind of guideline, something that moves them along. And I don't know who was it that said, but what is learned with laughter is learned well. And that's what we tried to do with Free to Be, which is to entertain children, to have them see, you know, when you sing a song like Parents Are People and Mommies Are Ranchers and Daddies Are Ranchers and Mommies Can Do Anything Daddies Can Do and Daddies Can Do Anything Mommies Can Do, if you have that feeling, you know, if you express that feeling and the children hear it and see it and are entertained by it, then they won't think it's so odd if their mommy works or their daddy doesn't work or if they want to work when they grow up. I think when the kids that I meet today are very different from the children that I met when we did Free to Be You and Me. I remember going to schools and talking to children, and I remember one little girl, I asked her, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? And she was about 5 years old, and she said she wanted to be an ice skater or a singer, which is pretty good. I mean, neither of those, not very sexist things. And I said, have you ever thought about being a doctor? And she started laughing. And she said, man's is doctors. So man's is doctors. I mean, today's children don't just see men as doctors. There are women dentists and women pediatricians and women everything. So, I mean, children didn't turn on television and see Diane Sawyer anchoring the news. You know, that we did not see that growing up. The men did everything. Man's was everything. Man's was doctors and man's was anchors and man's was everywhere. So those children today don't see that. And when you speak to children today in schools about what they want to be, oh, they raise their hand and girls want to be presidents and boys want to become race drivers and whatever it is, but it's not girls want to be mommies. They want to be mommies and boys want to be daddies, but it isn't the first thing out of their mouth. They have an idea, an aspiration, which is wonderful, which is a big change. And that's not just Free to Be You and Me that's done that. It's been part of it, but also the culture's changed.
There will be a 40th anniversary celebration of Free to Be You and Me at the Mahawi Theater in Great Barrington on Sunday. It's the 18th of August. It's 7 o'clock, and it will feature a live panel discussion, including with Marlo Thomas and Alan Alda. And again, you can find out more information by going to mahawi.org, mahawi.org, Sunday the 18th at 7 o'clock. Marlo Thomas, congratulations, and thank you so much for sharing with us, and we look forward to having you in town.
Good. Thank you, Joe. I look forward to meeting you.
A delight. Thank you very much. Again, the 40th anniversary celebration of Free to Be You and Me at the Mahawi on Sunday at 7 o'clock. You can find out more information at mahawi.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
When we grow up, will I be pretty?
Will I be big and strong?
Will I wear dresses that show off my knees?
Will I wear trousers twice as long?